Right, the better the bedroom will be. Now we get history of the wars, there have been some mighty men, like Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, and those Napoleon. But now in Cork there lives a man of even greater fame. He's a legend in his lifetime, and Barry Murphy is his name. He's the king of all Cork City, this is the chorus, and he's the king of all Cork City, he's the greatest of them all. He's Dr. Barry Murphy, the man from City Hall. In 85, they held a local government campaign to elect a corporation for Cork City was their aim. The same old politicians performed the same old role, where along came Barry Murphy, and he ran them up the pole. Then they went to San Francisco, or in America. The folks all cheered as Bernie did the Patrick's Day Parade. The San Franciscans loved him. They thought that he was sweet, so they gave him $1,500 worth of New Falls teas. Now come on, your politicians, take heed of what I say. It's time to get your finger out. It's time to mend your ways. This country needs a leader, and at last one has been found. Because Barry Murphy is the man with people power now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Noel. Next up, we have Mr. Alan Kirby.
I spoke to the point today about what's happening in Burma. I don't know if you're familiar with the situation there, but the monks are marching. They marched to Anstone Key's house to as part of a protest there against the military dictatorship. And just today, I heard the military dictatorship have threatened force against the monks in Burma, which is it's an unthinkable development really in that country, because the Buddhist monks are absolutely revered as enlightened beings, and they're so valuable to the world, and it's unthinkable. But I couldn't write a poem about that anyway, but I wrote this poem, which I think is appropriate just recently, and it's not about me at all, it's about, but I think it kind of sums up the dilemma that must face the Burmese monks. So I call this Peacemaker's Dilemma. The ancient wounds have opened again, leaving anger and frustration. I tried where I could not have tried, and failed where I could not have succeeded. I need to shatter every myth, but must I break each man's story? Must I shake each myth from his head, or should I meditate instead? Should I let the world's ignorance grow, play along with their glorious threats of death, and wait for them to come to me, pursuing the glory of their own story? Lock me up, throw away the key, wait for rivers of blood to wash me away, or hide myself in the story, pretend a part of their glory. No, instead I try where I should not try, fail where I cannot succeed. I take myths from heads, I take shit for it. I don't know if those of you who were last week, I kind of introduced the theme. I was going to do a poetry theme based on teachings, Buddhist teachings actually, and I was basing poems around these 10 qualities that the Buddha spoke about. And last week I did renunciation, and this week I want to do another quality that he spoke about, which was energy or effort, which is basically just the energy that's required to do something. So the first poem I'm going to read is written by Edward Thomas, and it's called Sewing. It was a perfect day for sewing, just as sweet and dry was the ground as tobacco dust. I tasted deep the hour between the far owl's chuckling first soft cry and the first star. A long stretched hour it was, nothing undone remained, the early seeds all safely sown. And now, part of the rain, windless and light, half a kiss, half a tear, saying goodnight. Thanks. And this is my own poem about energy. It contains some scientific terminology. Optic nerve, optic verve, action potential spread in milliseconds. A colour refraction appears in the brain. What you see is not real, but meaningful all the same. The energy contained in your retina to destroy the earth that you sit on, and your pancreas solicits hormones to balance you like a bean on a stool. It's amazing, incredible, it beggars belief what goes on in you. So do not sleep, do not keep doing things the same way. Give your life a different ring. Don't be afraid to sing, don't be afraid to dance, don't be afraid to be a fool, stand up on your stool. You have energy, you have energy, you are energy, you are energy. E equals mc squared, and I equal more energy than you can see, and you equal more than the XYZ. You think that this world will let you be. So that's my ABC of energy, but don't forget that you can just be. Thank you.
And next up we have Mel O'Day. Mel O'Day.
Mel O'Day. Okay, right, I've got some bits and pieces. This one is simply called Song. I move within myself, counting each moment of life through some form of thought act of advocate. The state is process, the moment of least spiral dreams that move through the center beginnings, borders and nothingness with which they are made. The child searching through history is suspend to some figments of meaning that scattered on the floor as the light broke in. Dance to the mystery of some pan-like tune that echoes in the distance. That cascaded down a mountainside like some avalanche of dreaming that caught us swirl in the dance of its imagination, that breathes through the living sense of awareness, that splinters through each moment of life, breaking into sense, stealing the dream of childhood that we pasted on the walls of some historical sense that interweaves its meaning through our fingers, that makes worship to the sun, dies, and lives again. The permanent cycle of resurrection from which our meaning grows, free like in some garden of what was, echoing spirit through the songs that whisper through the leaves, that call us to our sensing. This one is called Water. The sand flow of life and the sparkle of dew-wet leaves on the brow of memory. The bird raising with its song to that blue azure nothingness from which the dreams began to flow river-like from their beginnings. The shimmer of blue moon silver on the waters that flowed through my dreaming like a song I forgot and then remembered. The ghosts that touched my fingers and the elixir of some form of sense that crept feet-like through my dreams and sung to the flight we began as children. When we held the world in our hands, our world, its heart beating to its history like the jungle drumming of some forgotten civilization, its echoes moving stealthily through the distant horizon where I caught my dream in my hand and danced with her, spiraling through the universe like some quasar of spaghetti, each moment caught within itself and the history that defined it, weaving silk with its movement, existing through the urban hymn and the roar of cars, the quiet of the forest, intersecting the motion through which silently we dance through the hall of dreams, each one beckoning, each one singing its own song and twirling through history, the dance on the water, droplets between our toes. This one is called Thought. We begin in our imagination, the thought of us lying in some cradle of dreams, the tiny motion of hands against the air that we try and catch and play with, the imaginations that trace through our shadows cast upon the wall of our being, moving through their silence, a symphony to our delicate movements, an ode to the sky that we try and reach, climbing through some forest track where the birds make their motions, their chirruping hymn to the movement through which we float in the never never and walk on the moon. This one is called Image. We begin and then become ourselves again, caught in the drift of the moment that rises with the waves, then lifted his hands towards the sky in a silent prayer to the dreams that reality became, moving through from distant image which traveled across the floor of the forest, that crunched underfoot, that became in the moment when his soul rose to the heavens. We become part of ourselves and draw our portraits in the sand. We watch the ebb slow tide of what we once thought, what we became, the song rising through its first wind moment, floating above us like the thought clouds that trace across the azure, that painted themselves upon the sky of our resurrection. This is the last one. It's called Movers. I flew the ghost of my beginning, moving through the trees like some form of imagination. The leaves whispered around me, reading their own stories. A bird, a testament to when I was born, singing through the broken glass of awareness that splintered beneath my feet. I moved slowly, breathing in the crisp air of some form of winter morning when we learn to begin again, etching songs upon the fabric of our memory. The spider spin of dreams that silkily moves us into its own song, an entanglement of thought. Evening. We've had some Irish. I mean, I was never very good at Irish at school, but I wrote a couple of phrases, and one of which I remember is Eich lech lichta, nu a vien a faragus jach bin a cui vishta. That means, listen to the water, when there's anger inside, the heart is broken. Little announcement. I'm an artist and I'm having an open studio at my studio near Donnerail on Saturday the 29th of this month, and if anybody's interested in coming along, you'll probably need transport. Get in touch with me and I can give you some details. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mel. And next up on the list we have for the first time Mr. Gerry O'Neill. Here's Gerry O'Neill.
Will Gore, a woman on the and I'll try something on the dangers of trying to have a hold a conversation in the first national language in a public bar where you're likely to be accosted by somebody who's been traumatised by the Christian Brothers and who wants to take it out on you personally. And as well as that, the type of person that accosts you sometimes in public bars and they baffle you with statistics and you're really cut because you can't call their bluff. Anyway, this is called Paranoia Hibernica Stereotypica. For those of you who didn't enjoy the benefits of a classical education, can be roughly translated as it's a fucking scandal.
Excuse me, do you mind if I talk to you in English? The 8 people pissed me off. I just fuck you right away with your pioneer pins and your bonus stuck in the lapels of your tweed jacket, overload the store pullovers and the polished back sides of your pants firmly planted in the bomb and your head stuck up in the black clouds of the dark ages. And muttering away in a peasant gibberish, irresolutely refusing to recognise that you're conversing in a dead language. And what good is it anyway? 300,000. 300,000 unemployed. And what good is Tina G and the Dole Cube? August Manaw, Mahern. 10,000. And 10,000 damsels daintily dancing from the discos and the dance halls and the crossroads. Endo tree, across the earth seat to pagan Britain to procure abortion. And what percentage of them are going to demand their constitutional rights to be supplied with application forms in the first official language? And in Germany, and 20,000. And 20,000 Irish graduates and postgraduates. The cream of the educated young of Western Europe, working as navvies and building sites, and pulling pints in beer gardens. And why? Because their craniums have been so confused and contorted and constrained and constipated by useless freer and nabriata and fickle generous, that they are intellectually incapable of ever again being able to absorb a single iota of a useful European language. And in Russia, 20 million, it's actually 19,989,466, but it's easier to remember if you're older, up to 20 million citizens of the former Soviet Union died defending the fatherland against Hitler's Panzer Division. Not to mention the genocide of the Jews and the Gypsies who died in the horror of the Holocaust and the victims of Nagasaki, Hiroshima and the Pol Pot massacre. And what good did compulsory Irish do any of them? And in Africa, I nearly forgot about Africa. 300 million, WHO figure, check it out. 300 million, half the population of sub-Saharan Africa, and suffer malnutrition. And what comfort to their hungry bellies is the bonus of 10% they got from doing as a bit too Irish. When they could be feasting on training buds and fatty bacon with all the money that's being wasted on Irish. It's a fucking scandal. Now don't get me wrong. I love the Irish. It's a beautiful language. But the one thing I can't stand is the actual people who speak it. Yes, come on. Okay, but for that, I'll tell you a little song about unrequited love that's in the, it's in English, but sort of a bit of Irish surreptitiously sneaked in towards the end, called the Shannon Waltz, which is the old time waltz. The mist was breaking on the county bounds, the sun escaping as we motored down, heading westward for Brighton and sea. You hummed along to each tune from Ornagee. And at Troyte Anata the summer hung still, as they crashed through the breakers where you swam like a seal. Then we walked through sand dunes for more than a mile, where butterflies blue fed on golden trefoil. Oh, why don't you make me your sailor convoy to bask in your nectar and to drift on your sea? Then we stopped where a naval half buried in sand, its bones gathered flotsam, torn plastic and can. Oh, we'll build a navel of soft precious leather, and we'll rig up sail from the painted lady. And then we will sail away to the far Antilles, and then we will spread our wings to the southern seas. And later that evening, in the cornerstone bar, there was a wheezy old box and a four-string guitar, where they played some camellias and touristy songs, while the tourists went crazy as they all clapped along. Then we danced the Shannon Waltz, and I held you closely. I felt your heartbeat, and I thought was for me. Ach, ni mar heel, sir, e goni a deeter, agas bine an saura, nor a silas the cree. As we drove along, you shannos your song of fallen glory and ancient wrong. But oh, how I wished to hear you sing in blossomy cliché of sunshine and spring. Echatanash on the county bounds, Nasaisia Gyara, Sidan Marsik Tram. Obvious the Gamsar, Nasmekam is Kuiha, Ancho Friskya, Nanantaliha. Ah, but I still remembered that whiff of perfume and the song they were playing when we danced round the room. When we danced the Shanna Wong and I held you closely, I felt your heartbeat, but it was not for me. Marni Mara Heelter, Egoni Abitar, Agaspini Ansaura, Nura Kaila Safri. Oh, why don't we sail away to the far Antilles? Oh, why don't we spread our wings to the southern sea?
Good morning. Thank you very much. And next up to the microphone, could we please welcome Monsieur Jean Barry.
Really short love poem for called Love of Diastole. There was no drain here to ease the swelling rush from our unsluiced hut, just terraces of breaking waves rushing clean over the Minoan sand. A swell of history fought our tide as love's vice held us firmly. Reverse treaded. We strolled the beach repeatedly, omnipresent in our unity. We promised to keep promises. Cupid nursed a pair of swollen palms and searched the forest for a recess. As Daedalus strapped the pair of unwaxed wings and flew us both to safety. Thank you. A poem for a friend of mine called I Will. When death unhoods itself with the respect only the ploughman knows, as he unreins his twin, I will have danced with her in utero. I will have whispered in her amputated ear. Can I start that again? Sorry, that's wrong either. Go back to the beginning, my apologies. I will. When death unhoods itself with the respect only the ploughman knows, as he unreins his twin, I will have danced with her in utero. I will have whispered in her ear and amputated her ingrown troubles. I will have prayed, O spittle of Christ, infuse thyself into her polished stone. Heal. I will have held her mirrored fingers gently and tickled her parents' toes. I will have learned her laugh as mother does her baby's first. I will have held it Pentium-like. I will have seen her delivery of cards, tokens, presents, and occasions. Of abundant love from a solvent mother, no contraband in clothes. I will have nursed her wounds back to a smiling, toothless pitch and to a grey-haired fervour. I will have painted her landscape the colours of a lifetime. We will have tracked widely, disseminating trunkloads of loneliness, nihilism, sweat of bed. I will have undressed her jinx and laid it to rest. I will have answered 1,000 times and smiled back. Call us all Christina. Thank you.
I
I read this one here a couple of weeks ago, and I just had to give it a lash again. It's called Stones in Their Shoes, and it's for every father here tonight, and every son here tonight, and for everybody else as well, I suppose. Stones in Their Shoes. Is there a house where fathers sit with the prince of the apostles in silent lines of wishes? Young fathers, old fathers, grandfathers, fathers sitting in their fathers' seats, kept warm by their fathers. Fathers who used to abuse, abused fathers, sober fathers, now sober fathers. Fathers who couldn't say it, fathers who want to hear it. Generous fathers, miserable bastards. Fathers who forgive, fathers who wanted to be forgiven. Fathers who needed to be loved, loving fathers. Fathers who couldn't love, fathers who could, fathers who wanted to love. Expressive fathers, silent fathers. Fathers who shared, greedy bastards. Fathers who never did, forgiven fathers. Forgiven fathers who took their feet from their fathers and learned the gift of acceptance. Fathers who needed to be forgiven. Fathers who needed to forgive. Fathers who wanted to love. Fathers who wanted to be loved. Romantic fathers, horny bastards. Healed fathers, healing fathers. Fathers who wanted to hear sorry, sorry fathers. Fathers who used to shout, fathers who used to be shouted at. Noisy fathers, silent fathers. Generous fathers, mean bastards. Punished fathers, fathers who punished. Fathers who acknowledged, acknowledged fathers. Inflicted fathers, fathers who inflicted. Honest fathers, dishonest fathers. Hard-working fathers, lazy bastards. Funny fathers, grumpy fathers. Fathers who hurt. Hurt fathers who listened here, perhaps for the first time, and learned the gift of understanding. Blaming fathers. Blamed fathers. Accusing fathers. Fathers accused. Hugging fathers. Unhugged fathers, placid fathers, narcissistic bastards. Fathers who were always there, absent fathers. Fathers who had favorites. Fathers who were, fathers who didn't, and fathers who weren't. Charitable fathers, mean bastards. Isolated fathers. Fathers who were included. Fathers who were ignored. Ignored fathers. Affectionate fathers. Fathers who craved affection, fathers who wanted to share, fathers who couldn't. Fathers who couldn't hear, fathers who couldn't listen. Timid fathers, cruel bastards. Fathers who were distant, close fathers who accepted and understood and learned the gift of forgiveness. Fathers who simply couldn't, fathers who could. Fathers who eyeballed, fathers who never looked, fathers who never saw. Remorseful fathers, heartless bastards. Fathers who had no fathers, fathers who kissed, unkissed fathers. Fathers who were involved, fathers who were never there. Isolated fathers. Fathers who were isolated. Capable fathers, incapable fathers. Tidy fathers and messy bastards. Sad fathers, happy fathers, ready to welcome their sons. Accepting fathers who now understand and accept themselves. Forgiving fathers who forgive themselves and embrace love. Fathers who love themselves. Fathers who need to go and rest in peace and let their sons rest peacefully. Is every son a house? Thank you.
Could I ask you a question on that form? It's not a catastrophe. But not catastrophe.
Oh. Thank you, Jane. And next up on the list, could we welcome Patricia Walsh?
homeless. And Madame Renfrew, she's coming downstairs with a stare of a sea in her head and assessing her part, or should they? I also came down to see what was happening, but that fight, nothing prepared me for herself. There's something in her heart that reached out and just mine, since I was ever put it down to what it is. Something is very wrong, but what does it matter when the doors are closed? She's only here for now anyway. In my head I put her wherever she belongs, in a picture or flower field, or my favourite, the past of the phone. Now I want to be everywhere with her, over and above the split of time and place. But there is common sense to think of. Let her go. Half an hour passes. She disappears a bit more. I sit on the sofa with this video on, but I don't follow. It's too much for us. And this one is called Domestic. I knew long ago she would never reply, never return until so recently. Arrived too late and got the meeting fine. Rise and follow. The song of his body sent apart. We had the tea, slipped slowly into rejoicing in the bed. They did it for the first time in her life, the chill. Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! The sacred heart looked more forlorn than left on. The holy candle right in the glass. The only reminder of hell we have. And the Roman missile in its essence remains to rise. Its point and pages, its civet, a rusty poverty in a sense. Horsemen and barrels send us with treadmills for a time. Jesus died, the cross goes to slavery, form of quite a service. Bring out your dead. Huddled around a tasteful shrine, a high-tech and traditional values, blind in hindsight too. The call, bring out your dead. And this one is called Aurora Borealis. The beautiful summer evening of June will fall away tonight, and for some time of 6 and 5 of 6 hours, this blackness chills the vision of living. Your next one has its own comfort. The spinning of stairs, for example, punctuating their patterns in mindless design. And the moon, silver skin, she is finally free to show off her complexion, quickly and interesting, albeit sad, by the spaces of a solid spaces. My tribe, all of us, considers the perfect time to carry on with the necessary business of eating and drinking, through loving and meeting, all small things done extraordinarily well. All this is done, Michael's band congregates on the music's like fairly slapping. I'm so happy to be here. Last time we've been working, nice chats here, and enjoying the solidarity and good cheer. Now it's a day in heaven, let us turn to orange tone at the end of the sky. From the city, Aurora Borealis, orange and writing, tells no secrets if you do of not. Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Next up, we have Anita Daly. So we welcome Anita Daly.
Having book club next, poetry book club next, I think it's next Monday at 6:30 to 7:30, no, half, sorry, 7:30 to 8:30, and we're doing Keith.
That's the new venue?
Yeah, I presume, yeah.
Yeah, upstairs is the long garden.
Oh, yeah, upstairs is the long garden. This is a poem I wrote about 10 years ago. It was for, to say thank you for a weekend that I was invited to stay with my aunt. They see you as a column, holding up your own and every man's world. And I see those values some others leave having lost, have remained steady as part of your aura for all those long years. Me and my cousin Elizabeth, sick on holidays with children, share a bedroom and she comes in to comfort her daughter. She is the teacher by profession, dignified, ceremonial, a role model for all those years of children's classes that have passed through your heart, discreet, quietly spoken, except when leadership has called her. Hiking downhill from Bryce to the West Fork, 65. Go for a run first in the morning and only in orange. Swim and walk all summer long. Lately she moved into healing errors, and now they come to her as a homeopath. And she expressed herself with a distinctive kind of food she ate. Too sad apart, with family as companions, and created out of the mother's love, a whole new art. Poem that I tried to do, Haiku or something.
Haiku?
Haiku, yes. Right. Don't it? Yes. Take off. Viking proud takes leave of sand, in brown and dross, with clear-eyed hands, waves witness the sound and drums. Richness. A repertoire of bushes with golden bits on the ground in between. Above the street, the trees are near the top of the wall with the foliage sweet growing out of it. Listen to the damp blast, the unemployment. Listen. Money softens your life. The ivy of the walls and bastions hanging down in diagonal lines.
Thank you, Nita. And next up we have Helen Kavanagh Ronan.
I have to say I feel a little bit inadequate tonight. I didn't bring 3 pages of the Echo to read verbatim from. About an heroic cock figure who in typical Irish style befriended seemingly the city council but remained homeless anyway, however. Sad story. And there are loads of cock characters out there but nobody just wants to know them until they're dead. That's all I think. I just brought one poem tonight that I wrote when I was living in Yorkshire in 2005, and it's concerning the river that runs through York, the River Ouse. Ouse rippling, water brown, under bridges, carrying sadness and lying, enhancing pretty walled town, concealing a blear-eyed frown. Red boats slap the stream, lap towards family, sorry, I smile at life, ducking scurry. Inside I hear it, undercurrent sound, the scream. These shadowy banks were first to see her go, walking, hair low, moving arm, floating through, afterglow of recovery, reticence, reconnaissance, reluctance, realization. It's all gone. Ireland, lump, family, cancer, home. Amidst earthly yet paradoxical beauty, I stand alone.
Thank you, Helen, for not reading out the Echo. And next up to the mic, could we welcome Fionn Barra. Fionn Barra to the microphone.
Well, I'm not going to sing into this because it doesn't work. For me, it doesn't work. But, yeah. There's a song called It Works Now. She needs to be there.
young love said to me, my mother was mine, and my father won't slight you for your lack of kind. Then she turned her head to me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. Then she turned away from me, and she moved through the fair. And so fondly I watched her move here and move there. Then she turned her head homeward with one sorrow awake, like a swan in the evening moves over the lake. Last night I did dream that my dead love came in, and so softly she entered that our feet made no din. Then she laid her hand on me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. Thank
you, Ben. And next up, could we please welcome Eileen Lorden?
I get exploded when I am traveling, or you eat a different place, country. Meeting different people. I learn so much from other people. Golden apples. Oh, how lovely when I pick the golden apples off the tree. I love the autumn picking golden apples off trees. Soldier. Join the army. He is, when he is called up to fight, when there is war. The leaves come on the trees in the springtime. They are so lovely and green in the autumn. Some of the trees go bare. White. Oh, how lovely and peaceful and quiet in the woods. On a summer evening, the trees whisper, I listen to them, oh how sweet they are.
Thank you, Eileen, that was lovely. Next up to the microphone, could we call on Mr. Seamus Clark?
Thanks, Bob. It was untold. I wake slowly, eavesdropping on the faint creak of the otter helms
The wind and the rigging now more plaintive, feeling the pitch more adamant, a quiet gush from the air he's a fan. The heave from the same tack more manifest, sensing the steeper roll. In my mind's eye, I see that huge wheel, unmanned, twitching. The mast headlight slashing a zigzag arc through the misty wave, like a white star on a yo-yo. I picture the skipper as he cajoles the indifferent face of the chart plotter, leap to see to reveal a stream of cartographic data from a galaxy of satellites. Leap to explode in a myriad of colored pixels. Then it dawns on me. No engine. No more mortar sailing. It was the silence that woke me. I rolled further downhill in cozy luxury, my ear an inch from the soporific gurgle as the ocean slides past our hull. The moon's hidden pull on the tide, adding 3 knots to our speed. 2 more hours of bliss left on watch below before the time to rise again. It is 1:50 a.m. Easter Sunday. Sixth act. Idle persons, rogues, vagabonds, and sturdy beggars are hereby directed to be taken up, sent, conducted, and conveyed into Her Majesty's service at sea. Last night in passage, a skirmish broke out. More than one crown felt the heft of an oarloom. 2 boats were overturned. They durst not come back. I was not impressed. My own neighbour's hand, digging a ditch to southward of Greenmount, seized by 4 men, hastily begging my 10 must starve, his captors succumb to entreaties, accept offer of kindness. Again, the same hour is held. Troop and lieutenant bound for the coast, lamenting bad luck, twice in 1 day, 3 shillings, plus my half guinea. In quest of those rascals, at nearby alehouse they're found, returning money and freedom, sham pressmasters shackled. I was impressed. In Queenstown, informers be daily abroad. There is talk of a hot press, bribe of a suit, debtors, prison or workhouse, child or deserter, command of their lordships. Rub in this vitriol to our lesions, still fresh, dire image of scurvy. Thank you. Last one, current generation. This came about from when they were working in Lower Alvar Plunkett Street. I was passing by one day and I heard an engine throbbing, nicely suspended. It was a generator inside the wheelbarrow, a pneumatic tyre absorbing the shocks nicely. So this gave rise to this current generation. Engine in the garden, thumping in the tulips, busy while it idles, pumping out pollution. Now another racket, disc cuts at the concrete, sparks along the pathway, peppering red tomatoes. Evergreens don't envy this exhausting effort. Blooms can hear no skylark, runner beans no walkman. Tabbies on the chimney, Jenny still foot-putting, decibels appealing to his silly lordship. Home-stripped caterpillars, softly pleading, let us have a moment's silence. Frogs are slowly croaking. Eve had snapped that apple well above the ozone, claimed it was organic, Adam soon in silence. Thank you.
Tony. And next up, could we please welcome the first comer to our panel, Mr. Diarmaid Madari. Is he outside there? Thanks, Barry. Mr. Diarmaid Madari.
Just up the road here, the Simon community used to be, and this is a poem which mentions an incident that happened when the Simon community was in Lower Sand Street before it moved down to the Keys. The poem is called Mercy. Jesus, oh Jesus, she said, I don't know which no more when I say that word. Whether I pray or whether I swear. Lord Jesus of mercy, they've closed the North Infirmary and they tossed the dying man out of the hospital of mercy. Ah, mercy, Jesus, mercy. There were fluids oozing out of his body. He wasn't just incontinent. He didn't know where he was going. And we can't blame the doctors. And we can't blame the nurses. And we shouldn't blame the cuts. Because the facts of life are economic. And that's why they took the fare out of his pocket for his last drive in life down the Keys, across the bridge, up Lower John Street, where he died without a name, crashing in the Simon. Jesus, oh Jesus, he said. Did you hear the one about the man? We need only look with his eyes and the hurt he sees heal. I want to meet that man. If I could find him, I could believe in him. And I love the city in which I live. My easy, lazy life. As I drift suspended through the grey world of these city streets with my good friends, messy mates, dodgy druids, shifty shamans, cosmic leprechauns, spaced out spalpings, old boy scouts, failed at the Amen, Balaguna rasters, high and jah, yeah, fair weather sailors of Shit's Creek are losing our paddles, we are, of egotists and aegists, flowering heads, defecating dogs, self-appointed gods, intrepid trippers all, denim-clad Maoists, Republicans in leather, postmodernists in retro clothes, bowsies in suits with open necks and buckles on our shoes of egotists and aegists, the quack we have, the celebrating Greek myth. Sometimes I want to hug the world, steal every woman's kiss, and even if pubs be in pubs. Sometimes they're the loneliest places in the world. Sometimes, I love the pubs the most. So there she goes, my friends. Ah, there she goes. Tonight, another night going down, and tomorrow, another day again. The bells of Shandon peels oranges and lemons. The North Cathedral tolls for funerals and weddings. They got a big plus up the north side. Red neon cross above the roofs, now you see it, now you don't. And there she goes, my friend. Another decade of my life going down in the city charmed with all the travelers. On the town. Character. mine who died tragically some years ago. His name was Brendan Manning, Sig Filla, who are not incidental to this meeting here tonight. They produced after his death one of his long poems called Georgie when they were up in McCurtain Street. But this is a poem for Brendan. It's called Little Redemptions. It's another poem about Cork and character. The water at that level delighted this angle. The bridge in its reflection formed two perfect circles, spectacles looking up into the white heart of a grey sky from these city depths. And ain't it strange the way the words sit down into the music? Or were you thinking of that when you wrote this? No redemption in life, no redemption in birth, but little redemptions, you've known them, I've known them, we share them. Openings where things speak up for themselves, comradeship in an unlyrical world. The small dark cafe, the harlequin, big window, damp clothes in the smoky air, the Times, the Guardian, street outside like an aquarium. Sometimes I'd meet you there, coming from the solitude, a light in your eyes, blessed, almost content. Content. Or on an evening later, with the wind down river, in the pubs by the quays, amber patches, sun setting through open doorways. Known them and shared them, little redemptions, times when language lifts life with its hands, the words and music must fail us in the end. Dublin John, patches bender down, tarp neatly folded, away in the back, hazel and ash, tied up on the roof, alternatives to this one are acquiring his attention. As rattled as his pots and pans, minstrel boy to the wars is called. His laces undone, his exhaust pipe fuming, that's the second time now that I've defied him. Do you want to push? Go on, get away before I kill ya. And I wouldn't mind blowing me, for he saved me life with good advice. It was in another situation. He gave the wink, he tapped his nose, so I knew enough to smile and keep a distance. Ah, Dublin John, we're so much alike. We can read one another like an open book. Couldn't hold a bait if it was a newborn babe. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. In towns and cities, live us lately, but I'm well equipped to seize the day, live in a tent and wake up early. So much like he dumped our anger, but his came back. He's sick and tired, he's well fed up, in a wind and a wet, and everything damp. Ah, Dublin John, you want a cop on, you've got it all wrong, sure that sun is worth the way it burns. Bring midges, flies, and maggots. Hey, minstrel boy, the joke's on you. I slept with your bitch, got up with fleas. That runt of a mutt you call rhubarb, it is yours, isn't it? shook out his shaky stovepipe. A Dublin John to the road is gone, pursued down the track by bitter laughter. What a cushy bloke, pucker, maybe pucker. The short tail of what is he like? Not fit to drive, but that's all right. Away in the middle of the morning.
Good night.
Thank you very much. And our last poet for this evening, before we go on to the third part of the evening, which we're probably going to have to move quite rapidly because we're running a bit late tonight, Mr. Edward O'Dwyer. This is my pet guinea pig died in May, and this is a poem I know about her, called Purr. You were the third, and while the other two squeaked loud as they could, running round the cage like maniacs, you were still, but for when I just filled your food bowl. You were silent, but for a purr with the stroke of your back. When I saw black and white peeping out from under the canopy, all was as usual, was as would be expected. When I filled your bowl and you didn't stir, doubt came, but just a little. When I reached in and stroked your back with my fingers, it was then that I knew. The cold and solid feel against him, as much the opposite to your purr as life is to death. It's a poem called Gleaning. Is another apology worth anything now? Any hope in the idea? Tired of it is my liver. Another burnt slice of toast isn't going to help, but that's a fraction of a worry, the wailing in the cots in the next room. Too late for regret from such now. There's only time to glean what you can each day from the life you chose or fell into, not quite able to remember which now. When I've left for work, a fresh cup of tea, a chapter or two of this week's Daniel Steele. Maybe a moment almost like peace to apply a little foundation for the day. The mirror's glances made a little more bearable so. Last one. A little bit lighter, a little bit, called It Was Your Fault. How did love get from between our fingers? They were tight. Our fingers held together in a good web. They were sealed. When I am alone and the clock feels awkward on the wall, I look for ways to make this all your fault. It was your fault. There are so many things that prove it. Small breasts that force my big hands to grope around. A walk to make me watch the other girls walk on the street. The kind of voice I had to raise up mine all too often to cover. But even worse, most of all, this was your fault. Leaving me with enough time alone but the clock be made to feel so awkward on the wall. I asked how love got from between our fingers when they were tight, when they held together in a good web and were sealed. And I know they never were these things, but they are now.
with enough time, I've made all the faults yours. It's time. Speak. I see.
Thank you. You make me feel better about